This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, live local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to another Wednesdays with Denise on this very rainy, kind of miserable, prototypical Oregon October afternoon. Kind of a day I'd actually rather be curled up on my couch with a blanket and a book, but we're here. We're going to talk all kinds of, we're going to talk things Kaiser today. We're going to talk a little bit of kind of what happened with the Oregon Republican Party recall, how that wound up, what went into that. But before we do anything else, I want to welcome back to the studio a dear friend and someone everybody in the listening audience knows who we haven't heard from in a while. Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark is in the studio with us today to talk all things Kaiser. So Mayor Clark, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so much fun to be back and to be able to share with your listeners about what's going on in the great city of Kaiser.
I love it. I saw you recently a couple of weeks ago, but we have not been staring across microphones at each other for quite a while. So it's really nice to be back here. It feels like old home week.
Yes, indeed. It's a lot of fun to be back here. And give me an email anytime you want me to come back.
I will do that. I know your email. I know how to reach you. So Kaiser, I love Kaiser. I don't live in Kaiser, but I love Kaiser. And there's always the pride in Kaiser residents, Kaiserites, right? It's Kaiserites.
That's how we refer to ourselves.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's so abundant when you hear people who live here, who work here. Can you give us a little bit of an update on some the cool, exciting things that are happening as we're coming into the fall, things that people can look forward to?
You bet. A couple of things. Of course, the number one question, when is In-N-Out Burger going to open?
Yes.
And the answer is, I don't know. Oh. just to get it out there, right, for everybody.
Build it up and then
December is what they're talking about, but they have not given us a date. When we get it and they say go, everybody's going to know.
Oh, yeah.
But the other question is, are we getting ready for the big crowds that we expect? And the answer is absolutely yes. In-N-Out Burger is a very professional company. They're working with our staff, just like they did through the planning process. Mm-hmm. And we'll be ready to welcome people, make them comfortable, and enjoy their experience in Kaiser Station and the newest In-N-Out Burger.
I've never had one. I have never had it. It seems to have sort of this mythological status among burgers. For me, it's like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is the best chicken sandwich. Speaking of that, are we going to get a Chick-fil-A in Kaiser? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I hope so. That would be awesome.
I would love that. But In-N-Out Burger, it has this mythical, the status of these great burgers, and I've not had one. So I would anticipate lines for weeks.
We hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, you know, they chose our location because it's going to be great for their business. It's going to be great for the employees that work there. They'll get more hours. They get, by the way, In-N-Out Burger is a really good employer, mm-hmm. Providing, you know, higher than minimum wage and benefits for their employees. I don't know what their packages look like, mm-hmm. So I'm not going to speak for them. But they have a reputation of being a good employer, and that makes them a good fit for our Kaiser business community. We want people who not only provide great service and products, but also recognize that their employees are members of our community, yeah. And we want them treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely, and I've heard that about this franchise, this chain as well. So where in Kaiser Station exactly is it going to be located for those who don't know or haven't seen it, if they've been driving by?
So it's going to be just a little bit east of the Outback and south of Target. So okay. There's a building under construction there. That's it. Very visible from the freeway, which was a great plus for the purchase of that property. Mm-hmm. And it's also the site plan is designed to help with traffic. And also, they're going to have one of the largest sit-down dining areas of any of their franchises. So this is not strictly drive-through. You can walk over there, do your shopping along Kaiser Station, get your steps in, and then sit down for a great burger.
And then get your steps in again because you just had a great burger. So go back out and walk around. Well, that's exciting. Like I said, I've not had one, so I'm very interested to try one and see what all the hoopla is about these burgers. So what else, you know, Kaiser City Government. Kaiser is kind of coming. You guys are your own city. I know this has been years and years and years. There's you've really got an identity of your own. Kaiser has become a wonderful place to live, a wonderful place to work. What are we looking for, you know, as far as exciting growth opportunities, anything that, you know, interesting that people would want to know about what's happening on the horizon for Kaiser?
Absolutely. Kaiser does have a very distinct and unique environment, a culture, and a community feel that is very, very important to us. So we've been engaged in a number of studies to kind of determine, to determine whither from here. Change happens, and it either happens to you or you can help direct it. And being Kaiser, we would really prefer to direct it. Like I tell people, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So I would just prefer Kaiser be, you know, actually setting the table as far as determining our own future. So we've been doing a number of studies that have been provided through grants to look at our transportation growth, the cost of growth, our Kaiser revitalization plan, which is specific to the River Road Cherry Avenue, and then looking at our buildable lands inventory and housing needs. All of those have been very complex. They are have also had a great deal of public engagement. We've had citizen work groups, as well as our planning commission and the council, and open houses with a great deal of participation of people throughout Kaiser. And that's something that I love about Kaiser. When consultants come here and they do their public house or whatever they're supposed to do, you know, they expect it to be like everybody else. Well, it's not.
It's not.
Kaiser. People show up.
That is key right there. People show up. People from both sides of an issue show up, or do you find, I know in some cities, Salem is an example, a lot of times you'll see one side of an issue is very, very well represented while another side isn't. And I know, you know, as a mayor and a city councils, you can't read the community's mind. So I'm encouraged. I'm very happy to hear that in Kaiser, people are showing up regardless of where they stand on an issue.
Oh, absolutely. People want to show up, have their voices heard. Plus, there's a lot of give and take, not only between the people who come to attend and the consultants, but among, you know, neighbors. They go to the neighborhood associations and have more in-depth discussions, bring ideas. I get emails, and we really get some good input from the public outreach, the emails that we get, and letters and things like that, that let the consultants and our staff know people are paying attention. They want a really good product at the end, and these plans are going to be crafted by, as well as serving, being designed for the people of Kaiser.
Do you guys do... I think Salem just came out with a survey on, you know, how satisfied residents are with the city, with the direction the city's going. Do you kind of take the pulse of Kaiserites to get a feel for, you know, how they think you guys are doing, set the priorities, goal setting, things they want to see coming up?
About every other year we do a citizen survey and kind of, again, check that pulse. You know, what are the main things? Generally, public safety and security, traffic, things like that generally are at the top. A lot of satisfaction now, not so much in the past, before we did our parks fee on the condition of our parks. Speaking of parks, we just reopened our newly refurbished skate park.
Oh, okay.
And the people who the skaters were so excited about it that they were supposed to open Tuesday, Tuesday. And Monday night, it was ready to go. And they were like, open, open, open. So, you know, our public works director said, he checked with the contractor. It's good to go. Have at it, folks. And it was packed. The excitement with the new designs of the refurbished bowls, the smooth surfaces everywhere else. It took a great volunteer constructed project from 15, 20 years ago and brought it up to today's standard, get it ready for the next 15 to 20 years. And it's awesome.
And I bet it's being used, even though it's raining out there. There are people out there using it right now, I bet.
Well, it's kind of like golfers. Right? In Oregon,
shine.
You're going to be out there.
So those are wonderful things, good things that are happening. But I would imagine Kaiser, you know, you always have that Salem-Kaiser, you're that hyphenated thing, but you are neighbors. We're all neighbors here. Are you seeing some of the sort of big city problems that Salem is dealing with kind of coming over into Kaiser? And how are you dealing with things that might be challenges?
Oh, absolutely. We do share a lot of the same issues because while we are two distinct cities, we are the only two cities in the state that share one urban growth boundary.
Yeah.
So just on land use planning alone, we have to work together. We have to be aware of what each other is doing, even though we have our own individual comprehensive plans. But also, need doesn't recognize a boundary.
Yeah.
If you have a need or if there is a problem or if there is untoward activity, shall we say. People don't go, ooh, I'm in Kaiser, ooh, I'm in Salem, and this is going to change my behavior.
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
So, yes, we do have people who are homeless in our community. We do have a need for jobs. We do have a tremendous need for affordable housing. And the difference between us and Salem, for the most part, is going to be scale.
Yeah.
Salem is the second largest city in the state. They have tremendous need. And working together through we have through the Homeless Initiative, now the Mid-Willamette Valley, I have to get the new acronym.
Yeah.
The Mid-Willamette Valley Homeless Alliance.
Homeless Alliance, okay.
We have just evolved from the Mid-Willamette Homeless Initiative for a very specific reason. It's not that, we need a new name. But actually, this work is progressing to bring more resources, particularly federal resources, into our region for Salem and Kaiser.
So I know you've been very, very involved in homelessness in the region. You've been involved regionally in it. I know you worked with the COG, with former Marion County Commissioner Janet Carlson on that. We have about a minute or two before we have to take a break. So I want to touch a little bit on that, and then we come back on the break, we can dig a little bit more. So initially, I know the city of Salem had been working on that, working on hardest to house, wraparound services. There was an individual who was brought in by the COG to kind of focus on that, inventory that. She's now gone. Can you update us on what the status is of the initiative, and now with it's got a new acronym?
Well, because of the work that was done by Allie Trichel at the Council of Governments, continuing the work of the Mid-Willamette Homeless Initiative, we are now have the data and are poised to become our own continuum of care. So it is a collaboration of Marion and Polk counties together to reestablish the continuum so we can do a much better job of focusing resources to very effectively serve the needs of people in our community.
Okay, and like you said, that's a problem that is continuing to grow. We're seeing it kind of spread out into other areas. It's coming into Kaiser. So we're going to take a quick break here. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. We will be right back with Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark, so be sure to come back, and Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And that voice you're hearing is the one and only Hunter. Hunter, it's good to see you again.
It is good to see you, too. It's like old times.
I know. Well, so we are back with Wednesdays with Denise on this rainy, rainy Oregon fall afternoon. And we are in the studio today with Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark. And Kathy, before we jump into, the very serious issue of homelessness and all those things that are going on, you mentioned when you came in that you just got back from a trip from Arizona.
I did.
And come back to this.
Pretty much. It took quite a bit to go, maybe I'll just turn right back around and get on that plane. No, I got to spend a few days with family in Arizona. And one of the highlights was the Star Wars concert where the Arizona Symphony played the soundtrack to The Empire Strikes Back movie is playing.
That is so cool.
And I got to tell you, first of all, that is brutal music. Just from a technical point of view, and then to also do it so perfectly with the movie, which had that part extracted, but the rest of it was playing, to a completely sold out house of people just like me who love the movie, love the franchise, and it was a tremendous experience.
Oh, that sounds so
it was a lot
awesome.
Of fun.
That sounds so awesome. Yeah, and I had to have been hard to get off that plane or to come from Arizona and go, oh, really?
Yeah.
Here we are.
But, that's what makes Oregon green versus the various shades of desert sand which you have in the Phoenix area. So
true.
And it is beautiful.
I do like the rain. There's a name for it, and I will have to look it up. It's like, whatever. There is a name for people who like the rain, and I think you kind of have to have that mindset to be able to live here for six to 7 months out of the year where it's pretty much gray and rain.
That's called snowbird.
See, Arizona again. So let's circle back to what we were talking about as far as you have been very much, very heavily involved in the homelessness issue and finding solutions, looking for ways to find solutions, partnering with other organizations. Let's talk a little bit about where that effort stands now with the COG, with Marion and Polk counties and what your role is in that.
So to back up just a little bit, with the Homeless Initiative, once we developed the strategic plan, which was a collaboration of the City of Salem, City of Kaiser, Marion and Polk counties. Mm-hmm. We got the strategic plan. And then when it moved into the Council of Governments, Monmouth and Independence joined in. And then we've been able to evolve as we've learned more. But it wasn't just static, like, ooh, here's a cute little plan. The moment we started getting people together in the room at the start of the task force, mm-hmm. collaboration started happening. People started working together. They started finding solutions that are actually producing results for people. And yes, there are still people outside today mm-hmm. on this rainy day mm-hmm. who are homeless, who are cold, who are in need of help. But we have more and more people that through the collaboration of many of our nonprofits are effectively helping people choose to come in, be receive services, and be housed. Are we there yet? No. Mm-hmm. But are we on the right track? Absolutely yes. We have more services and more facilities now than we did 2 or 3 years ago. And these facilities and services are networked with other organizations. We're collecting very, very effective data. And we're getting results for people because when people become housed, they have a much higher rate now of staying housed and staying on track. So we just need to bring more resources in, scale it up, and let's keep on producing results, which results mean people.
Yeah.
People are being served. And the misery, the death that happens on the streets, we are getting after it with everything we've got.
Yeah. And it, like you said, it's multi-layered. It's very complex. I think having that data there to help make data-driven decisions. But you're right. It does. It kind of boils down to it's human beings, and we need to deal with them as human beings.
Individual human beings yes. with who are very complex. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then give all of our service providers from public safety, education, social services, the tools that they need. And a very important player in all this has been our housing providers, not only our shelter management, but also apartment complex managers. So they know who to call. They know they have resources available. Also builders. Builders want to have resources available so they can increase our supply of affordable housing.
I remember as far as landlords, people, property owners that have properties that want to work with the programs that you're doing, are you finding that there's a steady number of those people that are willing to do that, maybe lower the rents a little bit, have a little bit lower expectation of what to expect from someone who has not been housed for a long time? Because that's a transition. That's a hard transition.
It absolutely is a hard transition. And if you have a support team that is helping the property manager be able to have folks live there yeah. and be successful. So it's building that knowledge base and the collaboration with the apartment managers and shelter management companies that they can be successful in helping people live there and receive the services they need at the same time.
Yeah. Ongoing efforts, not easy work for certain. And so you're doing this on top of being mayor. You have a day job. You're very involved in the region. You're very committed to these causes. And I think that had a lot to do. I'm going to segue over, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I know that you were a recipient of a very prestigious award. And I think a lot of it has to do with the level of your commitment. You care very much. You walk the walk. You really do. And I know recently the League of Oregon Cities awarded you with the James C. Richards Award. Was that you knew that ahead of time, I'm assuming, but what were your feelings to be awarded? This is a recognition by the League of Oregon Cities as mayors and city government officials throughout the state. So this is kind of being recognized by your peers.
It was very overwhelming. Yeah. Well, I did get a phone call, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate that heads up.
Not being surprised, yeah.
And that's how they used to do it in the past, yeah. Just kind of floor somebody. But it gives you a chance to reflect yeah. about what this means. I've been working as an elected official for the last almost 13 years now. I've met many of the people who have received this award mm-hmm. and been recognized in the past. They're people who have been mentors, examples, people who were go-to to learn how to do this amazing thing called public service.
Yeah.
And to be recognized for the work I've been allowed to do is a tremendous honor. And also, I am so thankful that now I get to take what I've learned mm-hmm. and pass it on to the next generation of people who want to serve in elected office throughout Oregon. I think most of your listeners know, but I'm still surprised pretty frequently how many people don't know that almost all city officials in this state mm-hmm. are volunteer.
Yes.
Not full-time paid.
I think there's one in the state, and I think that's Beaverton. Oh, there's four?
There
okay.
are four.
Okay. So, but four out of, what, 242 cities in the state of Oregon.
Exactly. Yeah. So the rest of us, including Salem, by
yep,
the way,
yep.
Is not paid full-time. So for your listeners in Salem, know that the Mayor Bennett and the City Council are volunteers as well. They give a tremendous amount of their family time, their work vacation time, their evenings, you know, not only do you see the meetings on television, mm-hmm. but there's all the homework, the committee meetings yeah. that go into it. But when we're talking about regional work, that's in addition to.
Yeah.
And it's because we do regional work that Salem, Kaiser, Marion County, which has 20 cities, and Marion and Polk, Yamhill, are able to work together. We take additional time to build those relationships and share among each other the expertise and resources so we can do a better job within our cities as well.
Well, this region, there's, like you said, a lot of people who give of themselves freely and they volunteer to do this to help make it a better place to live. I appreciate your efforts for doing that. I was delighted when I heard you were receiving this award. I think it's well-deserved. It's good to have you back in. Unfortunately, our time is up for now, but I'm very grateful for you to come in and give our listeners an update on what's happening in Kaiser. I will have you back because it's always good to talk to you and geek out about Star Wars stuff with you as well.
Thank you so much for having me. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, my email is Clark, followed by the letter C, so clarkc@kaiser.org.
Awesome. Thank you, Mayor Kathy Clark from Kaiser. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with a representative, a volunteer from Oregon Republican Party, to talk to us about the nuts and bolts of running a sort of rather historic recall effort. It ultimately wasn't successful, but there was a lot that went into making this effort happen statewide. So we will be back after that. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Is that Dave? Dave?
Is it Denise?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Hi, stranger.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. Out there doing a remote on this very, very rainy, kind of miserable
liquid
Oregon.
Sunshine.
Liquid sunshine. I don't buy that. I don't call it. It's rain. Yeah,
it's liquid gold.
It's rain. Not that I don't love it. I was talking to Mayor Clark earlier about, I do love the rain. I love gray afternoons, but if I had my druthers, so to speak, it would be under a nice weighted blanket, reading a nice book in front of a fire.
I heard that about you. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be the ideal. Maybe eating some soup and some nice artisan bread. Oh, gosh. Now I better stop.
Right. This morning I got up. I had a half a cup of coffee and I went back in my recliner and closed my eyes.
Oh, stop.
And went back to sleep.
Oh, stop. Such a life. Such a life.
I had to get up and come to work, though.
Well, speaking of that, since we are working right now, we have a very special guest in the studio today. As our listeners know, we just finished up very intense. The Oregon Republican Party was running a recall effort, recall Governor Kate Brown, very intense. I think it was 90 days to collect 280,000 signatures, fell a little bit short. You know, and we've heard the postmortems on that and everyone's been talking about it and the spin is going on. I kind of wanted to switch the story up and I wanted to talk about what the life has been like for the volunteers, the people behind the effort. And I hear Carol laughing over
there.
Yeah,
right.
Carol Williams is our guest. She is a volunteer extraordinaire from the Marion County Republicans, who you were kind of point on this. You led the charge on this. We're the logistics officer. We can make up a really cool title for you. But yeah, you were one of the ladies behind this really Herculean effort. And I want to talk to you about, number one, what it was like, you know, how it felt, how you feel putting in all that time and treasure. Yeah. And I wanted to kind of tell the personal side of that story, the people behind it, because what I'm seeing out on social media is a lot of gloating, a lot of snarkiness and stuff that's just not helpful. I was impressed by the effort. And I think what you and then the rest of the volunteers did was something to be honored. And I think it's also probably a little bit historical in the numbers and the timeline. So first of all, Carol Williams, welcome to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
Thanks for having me, Denise.
It's good to have you. Are you recovered? Have you had some rest?
Oh, gosh, no, I've only had one day. the yesterday was my day at home. And then you called and said, hey. And I went, oh, that was going to be my day at home. Okay. All right, here
well,
I am.
We could spend it, you know, half an hour in the studio here, but I wanted to focus on the human element of this, the human aspect, the people behind it. So, you know, talk to me the day that it was July 15th, I believe, was when this we were and they're off. Is that the date?
Well, we did file on July 15th.
Okay.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill ended up having to amend his petition because he had his personal address on there and. Because he'd already seen death threats, we felt, he felt that was
charming.
Probably not a good idea.
Yes, wise move.
So we moved the address to our office. And so it actually took us 2 days. We did not get our template until late afternoon on the 17th.
Okay. So July 17th. And we're off.
And we're off.
Okay. So, you know, from a volunteer perspective, first of all, nobody was paid to do this.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. I mean, there was no real money behind this effort. This was all literally people power doing this.
Exactly.
So how many volunteers do you think there were in total? I want to say there were a lot of people that were periphery. I know I helped out a little bit in any ways I could. But there was a core group of people that were tireless, that were there all the time. Talk to me about what that experience was like.
You're talking about the people that worked in the office all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I worked there 40 to 50 hours a week.
Wow.
And then we had another gal, Carol Zielinski. Mm-hmm. She was our scanner extraordinaire because she did an awesome job. Mm-hmm. We would get all these numbered petitions and she would scan them into the software. And so that was really more. Sandy Muncy was great because she handled all the money. So I didn't have to take care of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she got that system down. And so she did really good. And then probably the other most constant one would have been Sue Pratt. And she was our button queen.
Making buttons?
Oh, this girl makes buttons like you would not believe. We've sent them all over the state, and we've had them at the state fair. So she's our button-making queen. So those were the four constants.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a lot of other volunteers that would come in on an occasional basis, some more than others, you know. So, but that was those four would be really the core people.
Okay, and then the ones that were coming in, again, these are volunteers taking you know, a lot of times very precious time away from family, work, things like that. To do that. So the timing of this starting on July 17th, it coincided well because it was state fair time. It was county fair time. So can you give us a little snippet of what it was like to be out there gathering signatures, kind of, you know, the reaction, how people treated you, the excitement level, or, you know, just kind of how you were received and dealt with?
Well, we were received very, very well. I didn't end up doing a huge amount of events just because I was running the office.
Mm-hmm.
But we did some drive-throughs originally at our office, and people were running to sign.
Yeah.
It was crazy. But probably one of the best events I did was Oktoberfest.
Uh-huh.
And Oktoberfest was amazing. We actually gathered 1,000 signatures in one day.
Wow.
That was five of us working constantly. People were lined up. You know, it was just such an amazing experience. And even the people said, I already signed, but you guys keep going. And, you know, so it was really very cool. And the experience, it made your heart feel good because there's so many people that were behind this.
Yeah.
And then I did a rodeo, the MPRA finals at the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And that was the following weekend. And here again, most people actually had already signed. But we did get some more signatures that weekend. And so that was a really very good experience, too. The one we did last week, the very, very last push that we did with Lars Larson live up at the Northwest Armory in Milwaukee, that one actually probably even broke our record for the 1,000 at Oktoberfest, because in 6 hours we got 918 and we worked almost 10 hours at Oktoberfest.
Wow.
And these are people just driving through. So, I mean, we actually had traffic backed up onto the street, and the gentleman next door that owned the motel, he came over and one of our people and said, hey, come on in. You can use my motel parking lot. We'll do a drive-through. You can get him coming in here. They had two solid lines going. So we were absolutely swamped.
And you know, you talk about you have no idea what this gentleman's politics are. And one of the things in my conversations I've had with Bill, Bill Currier, who's ORP chair, was I think the numbers when it came down, it was 33% were not Republican. And of that, it was half that were Democrats.
Close. Okay. Not quite half, but, okay. but 33%. That okay. is correct. That were not, there were all the other affiliations, Democrats, NAVs, Libertarians, you know, every aspect was represented.
So that, to me, says a couple of things. It says, number one, that this governor is, you know, that there's some issues, that she's not as popular as perhaps the Dems and the Ds are trying to spin it right now. Because it's interesting. What's bothering me, and I guess I should not be surprised, I live in Oregon, where it's kind of, you know, it's tough to be a Republican in Oregon. But the level of snark and the sort of the ha-ha, I guess it's like kind of, okay, can we grow up a little bit? I mean, but because I think really what happened, I think it should be paid attention to, because it's, to me, it is sending a very big message. There's no mandate here. There are a large swath of Oregonians that are decidedly unhappy and that are woke.
Probably the coolest thing was when somebody would just sign. And I didn't, you know, all I did was ask, are you a registered voter mm-hmm. in the state of Oregon? Yes. Okay, you can sign. But after they signed, they would say, I'm a Democrat and I want her gone.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, so it was that one always just made me feel so happy because it is basically bipartisan. It was, you know, it was across the gamut. Yes, most of them were Republicans, but the people that weren't were still so adamant. And seeing large communities, for example, the old world Russians.
Yes.
I mean, these ladies are amazing. Yeah. You know, and we had a whole group of them come up at one time at the booth, and it was just great, you know. And so many different people, so many different walks of life, so many different backgrounds told us a lot.
Yeah. To imagine being a part of that too, you know, you said the excitement level, people running up to the booth to do that, people wanting to get involved. Has the county seen a number of voter registrations go up as far as people who are now like, okay, you know what, we came up a little bit short here, but man, that was a great effort. Boy, this is impressive. This organization with all volunteers shows that when you guys put your mind to it, you actually accomplish some pretty great things. Is there a jump in numbers of people wanting to join the party?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, a couple months ago, 3 months ago maybe, we appointed 35 new PCPs in one evening.
Wow.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah.
We've also had new voter registrations. There's these segments of the community that really have not been involved in politics,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so they're now saying, okay, this is not okay. And one of the things that brought them out was HB 3063, the mandated vaccines.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yes.
No. Yeah. We left Russia because we don't want to be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And no, this is not okay. And of course, then we had Timber Unity, you know, all these different factions. And so I've lived here all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I am born and raised Oregonian, mm-hmm. and I've never, ever seen this in the state.
And you've been involved in politics for a while, too. Or you at least been aware.
I've been aware, but actually really involved only really about 3 years. And so I'm kind of getting a late start on things.
But you went from 0 to 60.
I did.
One of the new, we talked about Timber Unity. I had Todd Stoffel, one of the Timber Unity founders, on. And then I think it was last week we had Jason, who's from the vaping industry. Now, the vaping industry is another one that is newly sort of open. I think they've been a little bit more aware. A lot of them said they've had an inkling that these regulations were going to come down. But this vaping ban that actually went into effect yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's another whole segment of people. And again, it is not partisan. These are not partisan issues. These are freedom and liberty, and basically they're freedom and liberty issues. Mm-hmm. Across all party lines.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would think that there would be more people kind of willing to, you know, I think one of the slogans at the Oregon State Fair when you guys there was Republicans have you covered.
Yes.
And as far as I've had other conversations with people who feel sometimes they feel politically homeless because they don't really know. So, you know, you kind of which ideology, which party platform, if you're looking for a place to sort of land as a voter, best suits most of what you believe. So I would imagine you're seeing an uptick.
And that's actually a very key point. Because a lot of these old world believers and Slavic, mm-hmm. many of them were registered Democrat. Mm-hmm. They didn't vote, mm-hmm. but they're registered Democrat. And so when we showed them the Democrat platform and the Republican Party platform, they were going, oh. And so we have had a lot switching. And they believe in what we stand for. And when they saw what the Democrats said, why are we? I think in their mind, when they got registered, they heard Democrat, mm-hmm. and thought we're a democratic country. Mm-hmm. And so in their mind, that's what they, you know, They just, that's what they
and
thought.
And aside from the fact that, you know, my family had been Democrats for a long time, and it's not Jack Kennedy Democrats anymore. It's very decidedly different. And anyone who's been watching the debates lately realizes it's not. I can't either. Carol, we're going to have you stay over for the next, 'cause I want to talk about, you know, kind of what the Republican Party, what it looks like going forward. You guys are all recovering. How you're dealing with kind of, you know, the fallout, what happened, how you're dealing with that, and what the plan is moving forward. So we are going to take a quick break. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And we are back on a gray, rainy day. We're talking with Oregon Republican, or Marion County GOP, more specifically, volunteer Carol Williams. And we're talking about the recall effort that just wrapped up. Carol, one of the words that I've used on this is Herculean. It was a huge, heavy lift that ultimately did fall a little bit short. But talk to me about the logistics of this, the numbers, the time frame. This is a big deal.
Like I say, I'm born and raised here. I've never seen this kind of an effort. And just to give you a little background, I was actually involved with the recall effort 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We came up dismally short, There wasn't, you know, it was really not good. So this time to see all of this come in and to see all these and piles that we had to number and scan and to get a quarter of a million signatures. I mean, people don't realize 258, that's a quarter of a million.
Yeah.
You know, that has a little bit different note to it. And to come up so short, if it wouldn't been in the Constitution, if we had 120 days, we could have done it easily.
One of the things I noticed too, and I heard from other people, a lot of people didn't know that this was going on. Because it was basically, I mean, I really didn't see anything in the news until after it didn't succeed. And then all of a sudden there's news stories popping up about it. Everyone's out on Twitter doing the na-na-na and everything else. But, you know, throughout most of this, I didn't see a lot of media coverage. I know we talked about it on this show. Lars has talked about it on his. Didn't see a whole lot about it. Maybe one news story in that whole 90 days.
That's right. Maybe one, maybe two.
Yeah.
But very, very few. There was one, I think, around state fair time. Mm-hmm. And one young lady contacted me also about it. But yeah, it was basically a media blackout.
And my sense is that the media generally doesn't want these type of things to succeed, so they're not going to go out of their way to try to help get the word out to people, because I think that number within that short time frame, had there been more visibility on it, those numbers, I really think it would have succeeded at that point. Had more people known about it.
Absolutely.
Just
agree.
Given what you're telling me as far as, you know, NABs, Ds, Rs, yep. Everybody clamoring to sign it.
I totally agree with that.
So, you know, now here we are on the other side of it, you know, kind of looking back in retrospect, you know, where there's a lot of enthusiasm. I mean, where do you see things going now? We're coming up on 2020, which is an election year. We've got nonpartisan races, partisan races. Where do you see, you know, there's a lot of energized volunteers. Where can they sort of focus their energy? There's a lot of important races that we need to win as Republicans. So what would your suggestion be to those folks that are looking for something to do now?
Well, and that was actually part of what we were hoping to was, you know, whether we were successful or not, we hope to carry that on into the 2020 races. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, we need to get rid of that supermajority.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And, you know, because otherwise, what do our senators have? Now we have the Oregon 12, not the Oregon 11 now.
Right. That's right.
And so what they're going to only, the only recourse is going to be to walk out.
Yeah.
And, so people just need to get, the thing is they need to get involved where there's organization. Mm-hmm. And so either contact your candidates, contact your county party. Those would be the two top things to do. And just get out there and start volunteering with the candidates, because we've got to get better candidates. And we actually need good candidates to run.
Yes.
And there's the failing deadline is not until March. Mm-hmm. So there's still time for people. If they've been kind of sitting on the fence and not really making a decision, now's the time to make that decision.
And there's plenty of time to do that. And, you know, we talk about the local races, Marion County. I think Mayor Clark said, I can't remember the number of cities that are within Marion County, Marion Polk. But that municipal level of government, I know in Salem there are all the odd seats that are up for election. There's a couple that have had people that throw their hat in. But those are things, those are volunteer opportunities. A PCP, a precinct committee person, is an elected official.
It's
the first level of elected official. So you're a PCP, I'm a PCP. To get on the ballot to be, Dave, are you a PCP?
No.
Oh, we need to fix that.
Uh-oh.
Because that you need to just, you can do a write-in or you can sign, the Marion County Republican Party will help you with that. You get on the ballot, you need three whole votes.
Yeah.
And you're a PCP.
Well, and we have really boosted our numbers of PCPs, mm-hmm. but there's still an awful lot of precincts that have nobody in them. And so what we try and do is if there's like four, for example, in my precinct, if there's four of us, they'll try and put some of us in adjacent districts so at least we have precincts that are totally covered.
Yeah.
And so that is more helpful. But that people don't really understand that PCPs have all the power.
Well, we just had a couple of seats last year. We, with the death, unfortunately, of Senator Jackie Winters, the PCPs from SD10 selected who would go and be chosen to sit in that. Same thing when HD19 came open, mm-hmm. the same process. And those mm-hmm. are PCPs mm-hmm. that are making those determinations.
Exactly.
There's a lot of power there.
There is a lot of power there. And the PCPs are the ones that elect their county mm-hmm. officers. Mm-hmm. They elect the delegates to the state central committee. And then, so those people, then when they go to state central committee, then they're the ones that elect the state officers. And so there's really a lot of power in being a PCP.
And coming into the 2020 election cycle is going to be, I think it's going to be a barn burner. I mean, regardless of how the presidential goes, there's going to be angst and agita on, no matter how it goes down. Again, we've got a lot of local races, so like I said, we're coming off the ultimately not as successful in the numbers anyway. I would say it's still successful in many other measures, though.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was so successful in so many ways. And the volunteers from all over the state was just astounding. And so, yes, it was a success. We didn't make the ballot, mm-hmm. but it still was a success.
And I think it's important to make that point and to make it a number of times, because the perception out there, the spin is trying to be that it's a failure. It's not.
It's not.
It was. And it was a success in that regard. And so, just as we're about ready to wrap up, my hour goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. you've got people out there, you as a volunteer, a quick couple of words of encouragement for people that have kind of been keeping an eye on this, this is the point where they go, I do want to get involved. It's coming up. What would you suggest people do?
They suggest they contact their local county party mm-hmm. because when we do this again, and we will, mm-hmm. The county parties are going to be the contact people for each county. And so that's the best place to just contact those county chairs, let them know you want to be involved. I'll be in the office again working on that. But that's the best place to start is with your local county party.
Okay. I have been involved for years, and the group of people, the dedication of the volunteers is just... it's heartwarming. It's something so good to see. And the level of passion and creativity that everybody brings to the game is just wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to thank you. I know you've, really worked your took us off for these past few months. And the other ladies you mentioned, I know there are a lot of other people that go into this effort. So, from me and from people who are, weren't as involved as you in this, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It was our pleasure. Yeah. Really.
Thank you. We've been talking to Carol Williams from Marion County GOP. I would encourage people to do as she said and contact your county party if you want to get involved and take it up another level and become a PCP. And I think it's exciting. 2020, man, you want to be involved in 2020. You want your
Absolutely.
Voice heard.
Yeah.
And, and it's not necessarily just a vote. That's the first step. There's so much more that needs to be done. Like Carol was saying, there's volunteer efforts. They're going to be looking at, potential working further down the line on another recall. We don't know yet, but there are candidates that need your help. Lots to do. Get involved. Local matters.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.